So we're continuing in our series, Valuing People and Walking in Love. And so I'd like to use a story in the Old Testament from 2 Kings chapter 7 to explain and provoke us around this theme of continuing to value people and walk in love. The background of the story is around about 800 years before Jesus was born. It was a time when Israel was divided into two camps, Israel and Judah, and so there was not a great deal of political or military strength in the land of Israel, and therefore they were often invaded by other surrounding nations and kings. And this is the story where Samaria was invaded by the king of Aram, which is modern-day Syria. And Samaria then was the capital of Israel, and it's where the king of Israel resided. So let's have a look at it. Fionn, if I could have it, and I'll read it through. Okay, here we go. Ben-Hadad. It's a strange name, isn't it? Ben-Hadad. Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, mobilized his entire army and marched up and laid siege to Samaria. There was a great famine in the city. The siege lasted so long that a donkey's head sold for more than 80 shekels of silver and a quarter of cab, whatever that is. Could be carbs, who knows. Of seed pods for 5 shekels. As the king of Israel was passing by the wall, a woman cried out to him, "Help me, my lord, the king." And the king replied, I have a frog in my throat. And the king replied, "If the Lord does not help you, where can I get help for you? From the threshing floor, from the wine press?" Then he asked her, "What's the matter?" She answered, A woman said to me, "Give me your son so we may eat him today, and tomorrow we will eat my son." So it's a pretty desperate situation. "So we cooked my son and ate him. The next day I said to her, 'Give up your son that we may eat him.' But she had hidden him. When the king heard the woman's words, he tore his clothes." Next slide. So after this, they decided to go and see Elisha. And Elisha prophesied into this desperate situation, "Hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. About this time tomorrow, a seer of the finest flour will sell for a shekel, and 2 seers of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria." So he's prophesying that the siege or the famine will be lifted within 24 hours. "There were 4 men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate. They said to each other, 'Why stay here until we die? If we say, go into the city, the famine is there and we'll die. And if we stay here, we'll die. So let's go over to the camp of the Arameans and surrender. If they spare us, we live. If they kill us, then we die.' At dusk, they got up and went into the camp of the Arameans. When they reached the edge of the camp, no one was there. The Lord had caused the Arameans to hear a sound of chariots and horses and a great army. So they said to one another, 'Look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittite and Egyptian kings to attack us.' So they got up and fled in the dusk and abandoned the tents and their horses and their donkeys. They left the camp as it was and ran for their lives. Then the men who had leprosy reached the edge of the camp, entered one of the tents, and ate and drank. Then they took silver and gold and clothes and went off and hid them. Then they returned and entered another tent and took some things from it and hid them also." So they'd left all of their food and provisions for this massive army. Next slide. "Whilst they were doing this, they said to themselves, 'What we're doing is not right. This is a day of good news, and we're keeping it to ourselves.'" Is there one more slide? And then they decided to go into the Samaritan city, knock on the door and say, there's food. The Armenians have gone and God has provided for them. Quite an amazing story. And so let's just have a look at this for a moment. There's some parallels with that story and modern day living. First of all, there was a famine. Then it was a famine of food. Now, in today's world, in today's Britain, in today's world, there's a spiritual famine. A spiritual famine is more than just a fact that people don't know Jesus, they don't know God, they don't have a relationship with him. The spiritual implications and the implications of the heart and soul of not being connected with God means that there is a hunger in everybody's life for purpose. Because it is only when we know God and connected to him and his purpose for which he is created for that we truly find purpose. So there's this insatiable famine, this a hunger within the hearts of men and women. It's a hunger for purpose and for love. Because God loves us as a human being, and only when we experience truly what it is to be loved by God who is created, which is a divine love and is far greater and more fulfilling and more eternal and healing and satisfying than any human love that you could ever experience. Only when we experience that love is the hunger and the desire and the need to be loved fulfilled. You were created to be loved, and that's why we feel our need for it greatly. And there is a famine in our land of this love, because we do not, or most of our nation do not know this love of God in a real, tangible, experiential way. There is a famine of security, because it's only when we know God and that he loves us and he has a purpose for our lives and that he's in control of our lives and we can go to him and we can find safety, shelter, provision, kindness, security in him because he promises it to us. Do we ever truly feel secure? And to feel secure is a basic need of the human heart. And there's a famine in our land for the need of security and love and purpose and identity. Who am I? Am I of any value? And we have to go to the shops to buy brand name t-shirts so that we can feel accepted or create an identity for ourselves around the clothes that we buy, the cars that we drive, the places that we live, the jobs that we have. And there is a famine in our land for a sense of self-identity. And to live without a sense of identity and knowing who you are and secure in that identity is a crippling emotional power that shrivels the human heart and brings anxiety to the human mind, that we're so obsessed with what people think about us because we are not contained and at peace within our own identity. There's a famine in our land that causes people to think that life is about achievement, money, success. And there's a famine of peace and assurance and well-being. We live in a day of spiritual famine. And the Bible says in the book of John that in the world, and everybody is part of the world, and these are the things that influence us. It says there's the lust of the eyes come out of the world, the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. What is that? That's the hunger. A lust is an insatiable hunger that must be satisfied but never is satisfied. And that it's a hunger for what we see we want. Or a hunger, says it's the lust of the eyes, or the lust of the flesh. A hunger for pleasure and experience to make our lives meaningful and bearable. And John also says in the Bible, it's the pride of life. The pride of life is this self, this ego that must be fulfilled and satisfied. Paul talks about the ego or pride as this over inflated sense of self. It's like, in the Greek word, it's like a distended sense of ego or self. Nobody thinks about an ankle or an elbow or a finger when it's not swollen. But when you have a swollen ankle or a swollen finger or a swollen member of your body, it is a painful thing. And it says about the ego, because it is not satisfied by God, is distorted. And it becomes extended and inflated. We often call it, oh, that person's got an inflated ego. Well, we all have inflated egos, else we are looking and reaching and extending ourselves to find meaning and purpose in life. And of course, the ego was designed to be filled and satisfied by God. You see, the ego is so big that only God can fill it. And we try and fill our egos, our sense of self, with so many other things, but because the ego is so big that only God can fill it, everything else just rattles around. Everything we do never satisfies. So we have this hunger. Madonna, let me quote you Madonna. She says this: my ego cannot be satisfied. My sense of self, my desire for self-worth, my need to be somebody, it is not fulfilled. I keep thinking I've won it from the people, from what people have said about me, from the magazines and the newspapers that have been written. But the next day, I have to go back and look somewhere else. Why? Because my ego is insatiable. It's a black hole. It doesn't matter how much I throw into it, the cupboard is bare. Now, that is true for every single individual. Most of us do not have the opportunity to be in the environment where you to attempt to fulfill your ego by the masses on a stage. But we try it through other things that might be more micro, but nevertheless, every human being is in a famine to be loved, secure, and internally satisfied. And only God can fill it. So like Samaria, there's a famine in the land. But we see another parable here that miraculously this famine was lifted and an amazing provision was made by God for these Samaritans in this village. Back then it was provided by the Armenians or the Syrians. Now it is through Jesus. Jesus has come, God in the flesh, to break the famine of our hearts. He says, I am the bread of life. He who feeds on me will never go hungry. I am the living waters. If you drink out of these living waters, the Holy Spirit that I give you, it will well up as a gift of eternal life, and you shall never thirst again. I have come that you may have life, and have life in all its fullness. He gives us a love that is the divine love of God that can only satisfy us because that's what we're made for. He brings us a forgiveness through his work on the cross where he was crucified for our sins so that we would not have to be racked and ruined with guilt. I remember the day I received Jesus Christ into my life. I was 20 years old. I wasn't even aware when I prayed that prayer how guilty I felt. I was so used to living with guilt, I couldn't recognize it anymore. It's like somebody who lives with pain and you get used to it over the years. And then when I prayed a prayer for Jesus to come into my life, because of to forgive my sins because I recognized I needed forgiveness, although I didn't particularly feel guilty about it. It was like a massive weight was lifted off me in a moment, and I didn't realize that I was carrying around a weight and a burden of crushing guilt. And it lifted, and I felt a peace that I didn't even know I needed. I was never particularly an anxious person. I was kind of chilled and laid back. But a peace came into my life that I didn't know I needed, and there was a freedom from guilt that I didn't even know I was carrying. And in that day, my life changed, and my famine was over. And he offers his love, his forgiveness, guilt-free, his presence. Oh, my goodness. All my life, I've been looking forward for satisfaction and thrill and joy and happiness. And I discovered, as I began to pray and worship, the presence of God. It was so marvelous, I couldn't keep away. His presence is wonderful. Eternal life. Never have to fear death. Never have to fear death. Now, some of you may have never have to face that moment and look death in the face. Maybe some of you are not young enough. I remember when I was told 4 years ago that I had a lump in my neck and they had to take it out, and the doctor said it was cancer. Do you know what surprised me about that? No fear. No fear. There was just no fear. The fear of death had no hold. What did we just sing about? Oh, trample death, where is your sting? We celebrate Christ, the risen King. He's destroyed it. There is no fear in death for those who belong to Jesus. For they will go into the presence of God and they will not die, but they will live. And their life will be all more glorious then than it is now. Wisdom for living. This is the provision. This is the banquet. This is us walking into the tents of what God has provided. And we have wisdom for life, and he gives it to his word and his guidance. Healing. Healing in the body. For I'm alive today. Healing in the body. Last Sunday, I was at a church, and we prayed for people to be healed. And a lady who had been racked in pain for years and years came out. And she was completely healed of all her pain. And she was shocked and she was in tears. And she said jokingly, not really believing it, oh, it'll be my hearing next, because she had a hearing aid in one ear. And I said, well, what is the problem with your ears? And she said, well, in this ear, I have not been able to hear anything for 46 years. It is stone deaf. I don't wear a hearing aid. Just won't do any good. There's nothing there. And in this ear, I have to wear a hearing aid because I'm very deaf in this ear, but this one helps. And you could tell she was profoundly deaf because she had a distorted speech that often people who are really deaf do. And so I prayed for her, and in a moment, the ear that was deaf for 46 years, the hearing came back. She burst into tears. She started jumping up and down. She was jumping up and down. She went running around the room. It was after the service, running out of the room amongst her, putting her finger in the good ear, saying to everybody, speak in this ear, I can hear. And then we prayed for the other, and the hearing came back in the other ear. And she went out of the meeting at the end of the day, holding her hearing aid in her hand. Hearing. And there was another lady who'd had, I don't understand this, but had like a defect from birth where her toes would not connect with her ligaments or muscles in her feet. And she, but I would put her about 35 years old. And she stood up for prayer and somebody prayed for her. And she got totally healed because she could not walk without crippling pain. And she was totally healed. She was walking around. She's never been able to do that since the day she was born. Healing, provision, guidance, love, security. Our ego satisfied because of his love. Provision and church community, family. Friends that share in with us the love of God. We have a buffet of blessings. In Ephesians 1, it says, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in his in heavenly places in Christ. In Christ, we have every spiritual blessing. And I've just named a few. But the other parable, as I finish, is that we're like those lepers, those four of them, outside the city of Samaria. They were experiencing the famine. But they were in the place where they just happened to stumble across God's amazing provision. They kind of weren't looking for it, but it was there in front of them all their life, all the time. Well, not all the time, but it was there, provided for them. And they stumbled across it. And here we are, so many of us, going through life blind, not really knowing what we're looking for, have stumbled somehow in God's kindness into Jesus. We've walked into the tent of God's provision through Jesus Christ. And we are enjoying the buffet of those blessings. His rescue and his mercy and his grace. Mercy is his forgiveness. Grace is provision and blessing on top. We just don't get forgiven. He just lavishes us with wonderful, wonderful good things. But we can be like those lepers in more than one way, can't we? Because we're not just blessed with the abundance, but so often we keep it for ourselves. There they were. I can imagine the chicken juices going down their faces. They were gorging themselves. Oh, look at all this. And then they went to the grapes and the almonds and the olives. I can imagine it all, and all the exotic foods and the provision and the meats and the breads that were there for the whole of the army and the kings and the generals. And they were, and all of the fine food that was there, and they were eating and enjoying it, and then they took some of the clothing and they hid it and they came back for it and making themselves rich on all that had been provided for them for free. And then in a moment, one of them stopped and said, what we are doing is not right. This is a day of good news. And we're keeping it to ourselves. This is a day of good news. And we're keeping it to ourselves. You are living in a day of good news. You are in the tents of the King. You are eating from his table. And so am I. And there is a city outside of this building. And it is in famine. And they said to themselves, let us arise. Let's go to the city and say to them, this is a day of good news. That they may come into the King's table and come to the banquet that has been provided, and they may be rescued and saved and satisfied and come into all of the goodness of God. So as we look at this theme, valuing others and walking in love, To value others and walk in love is to daily remember that we are living in a day of good news. Daily remember that I and you are living in a day of good news. And that there are hundreds and thousands in our towns and cities and streets and villages who are not. And death is knocking and threatening without hope. And desperate soul hunger is eating away at the hearts of men and women and boys and girls. And just a short spiritual walk away is the provision of God. And all it takes is a spiritual leper like you and me to knock on the door and shout and say, "It's over there," and point the way. So we go back to the city and we tell and share what we have found. We point to the good news provision. Jesus says, "Go back into the world from where I've taken you and proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. The kingdom is at hand. Your day of famine can be over. His love, his mercy, his forgiveness, his healing, his wholeness, his wisdom, his help is at hand. It's for you. It's for me. But we must go and tell." And to do that and remember that daily is to value others and walk in love.